Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 70 degrees here on this Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025, Earth Day, as they like to call it for us mere mortal earthlings. It's Earth Day. Hopefully you did something good today. I took a walk around my property, picked up some stuff, looked at my 14 or so fruit trees in my orchard. They're starting to bloom, looking good. Picked up some broken branches and clipped some broken branches from the rough winter we had. Looked at my blueberry patch. So they look like they're coming in pretty well. I got to put up some netting sometime soon. Our weeping cherries are in full bloom finally. A little bit behind schedule, but they're in full bloom now. And the rhododendrons have their nice pink flowers that my wife likes so much out there. So that's what I did on today, this Earth Day. Beautiful day outside, sunny. Get outside, get some vitamin D. Do something around your property. Do something to help the environment in your little way. See? It's not hard. You don't have to be forced to do it. Do it because you want to do it. You don't do it because some politician tells you you should while they jet around in a private jet. But hopefully you're doing something for Earth Day. There's projects going on all over the place. It's easy to get involved if it's something you want to do. Listen, go to your local park in whatever municipal place you live and just go for a walk in the park. It's as easy as that. See, you celebrated Earth Day. It wasn't hard. Walk around your front yard. Do whatever makes you happy. Don't do it because others tell you to, or that look at me attitude that we've come to so much on social media. So lots of things going on today. Lots of things to talk about. I did hear that Lackawanna County was in a courtroom today on this Earth Day, not celebrating the outside. And there was a pretty lengthy hearing back and forth about the county commissioner and who can be chosen, who can't be chosen, who gets to choose, who doesn't get to choose. The bottom line is we don't have a third county commissioner. The county of Lackawanna County is not working at full strength as far as commissioners go. There's a dispute legally on if this even has the authority to be in a courtroom right now, one of the things being discussed today. But what was noticed in a financially troubled county, Lackawanna County, because I think we can assume ourselves as that, millions of dollars in debt. We're on a hiring freeze under a management plan to help us with our fiscal management. So, yeah, I think it's easy to say that we are a financially struggling county. When we had millions of dollars unpaid bills last year coming into this year. Well, you know, there were just under a dozen county employees, high ranking, some elected, some not, sitting in a courtroom today fighting over who should have the power to do what. And this is basically all a grasp effort of the county. Is he even the majority commission, the chairman anymore? I guess he is, because there has been no vote to change that. The majority chairman's last-ditch effort to hold on to whatever power there is, and he sees that power dwindling. But the thing is, and the thing that was brought to my attention is, this could go on for a while. This could go on for a while, and I don't see how this court, the Court of Common Pleas, not the Court of Common Pleas, the Lackawanna County Court, could let this go down this road. Now, the argument, a county board of commissioners can only act as a board. They cannot act unilaterally. It means not one board member, or county commissioner member, can institute legal authority to initiate a lawsuit. Now, what they're arguing, and what I mean by they, it's the county solicitor under the guidance of Chairman Bill Gaughan, is saying that the county solicitor has the authority to initiate a lawsuit on behalf of Lackawanna County. No, the county solicitor has the duty under the direction of the Board of Commissioners to initiate a lawsuit. But they're saying that's not the case, that he has the authority to do such. Now, here's a thing. If this holds true, what if the county solicitor doesn't agree with any of the board members, the commissioners at all, and decides that it's in the best interest of the county to initiate a lawsuit against the wishes of all the county commissioners? He could just institute a lawsuit at the taxpayer's expense. I think the state attorney general would have an issue with that because you're setting a precedent that any of the county's solicitors can just initiate a lawsuit if they don't agree with something. No, they act as an advisor and at the direction of the Board of Commissioners. So I don't see how that stands and makes precedent. And if it does, I could, and I hope the state would get involved as far as the attorney general, because the last thing the state needs is rogue solicitors having the authority to initiate lawsuits whenever they want. Because does it stop there? Can a school board solicitor then initiate lawsuits whenever they want without the direction or against the direction of the school board? It opens up a can of worms that just cannot exist. And that just goes to show how ridiculous this argument is. And we're paying all these people, I think there were 8 or 10 in the courtroom today, to not do their job serving the people of the county of Lackawanna in their normal job functions, but to fight out to keep this man in power. And that's all this is. He sees it diminishing through his fingertips, and he's doing everything. But how long could this go on for? Now, I've been watching the county commissioners' meetings, and most of what's going on is just normal business, course of business. You have to realize that 90% of the votes in the county commissioner's office is probably 3-0. There's that 10% where there's a conflict of who wants what. Now, that 10%, though, are normally the bigger items, like a budget, like the approving of a reassessment once it's finalized and the numbers are brought to fruition. We have a crisis without 3 board members when it comes to anything that's going to be not a unanimous vote. Now, this could go on if this board appeals and says, no, as per the law, this court, the 3 panel judges come and tell Gaughan and the county that they have the authority to choose who this commissioner is, and they choose who that commissioner is. Is there an appeal which delays this even further? How long does this go for? Does it go for weeks? Does it go for months? I mean, towards the end of the year, we're going to need a budget. You're going to need 3 county commissioners to have a budget unless there's an agreed upon budget, and I don't see one side bending that much to get an agreed upon budget with just 2 commissioners. So it truly puts us in a conundrum in Lackawanna County. But that's what happened today in court. It was a couple of hours they were there for. There's really no timeline on when this 3-judge panel is due to come. Both sides had their argument today. If there is an appeal, does the chairman of Lackawanna County have to post a bond for that appeal? If they say that, no, this is over with, here's your 3rd county commissioner, should he be personally liable to put up a bond for an appeal process? So it's interesting where that goes, but that took place today. I don't know if there's going to be much in the paper tomorrow about it, but I would hope there was a reporter in the courtroom today. But that's where Lackawanna County stands. So we'll see what happens there. And again, I got that information a little before coming on the air today, so I just wanted to update people for someone who was sitting in the courtroom. It's interesting that this, we talked about it the day it happened, this Florida State University shooting that took place, and that, I only at the time thought there was one survivor of Parkland shooting in high school that was at FSU during this shooting. Turns out there was a few. There was a few that are Florida State University students that were also at the Parkland school in Broward County when that school shooting took place. And they're starting to come out and talk about it. And one of the things that have already happened is a legislator in Florida has already come out and talked about changing the law in Florida. In 2018, the measure raising the age to 21 years old was in response to the Parkland shooting, where a 19-year-old shooter currently faced life in prison. Now, the talk about new laws, and again, this was a 20-year-old FSU student who took his mother's lawfully possessed firearm, who was also in law enforcement. No additional law as far as age on the age of someone possessing, purchasing that gun changes that. And we've seen it more times than not that doing something seems to, rather than something that actually addresses the issue together. And unfortunately, in something like this, that becomes difficult. At this point, it's a discussion that needs to be take place. But when you see the discussion of, okay, we let individuals join the military at 18, you're voting at 18, you're considered an adult at 18, but you know, here's the restrictions you have on purchasing a firearm. Here's the restrictions you have of drinking alcohol. Now, some might say it's the same thing. Listen, we made the drinking age 21, and we've seen positive results from that. Yes. But like we talked about the other day, where a judge turned down and agreed with the tech companies that it's not up to the tech companies to limit social media for children under 16. It's a parent's job to do that because of a child's First Amendment right. So it's interesting how in that case, and again, I disagreed with it on its face value, but then when I talked you through it, I ended up agreeing with it at the end. That is a parent's responsibility. We shouldn't have another law to replace the job of a parent, an involved parent, an involved guardian for that child. And the court said that because this did indeed violate their children under 16's First Amendment right of freedom of speech, expression, it's a parent's job to monitor and limit that. Well, isn't this sort of the same thing? And drinking is not in the Constitution. So it brings up a constitutional argument. Do we want to abide by it or do we not? So when we have these discussions about ages and who could purchase a firearm and who could own a firearm, it's interesting that when these shootings take place, everybody seems to, on gun control side, wants to go towards long rifles, AR-style weapons. Well, that was not used here. It's not used in a lot of cases. Matter of fact, it's only used in 2% of violent crime across America. Handguns are the most commonly used when it comes to homicide deaths by firearm. Now they want to talk about how firearms is the number one cause of death for children. Well, not when you remove suicide. And again, some preventable, some not. If they're not going to commit suicide one way, and if they're intent on committing suicide, they will find a way to do it. And if that is that the duty of, again, a family, a parent, a guardian, to step in and say, okay, there is a mental issue here, there's depression, there's something going on, we obviously have to take more steps when it comes to firearm security, even having them in the house, putting them in another family member's house, temporarily removing them. And this is done all the time by responsible people. You know, plenty of combat vets, law enforcement, people in all sorts of communities, even in the medical community, nurses and trauma centers, to where when they've battled depression or PTSD because of an incident or something, you know, loved ones have come in and removed all the firearms from the house, even long guns, even hunting rifles or shotguns or things you would not consider something to self-harm with, but it does. There is something going on. And when you look at when this all started to spike, these mass shootings, and all of them, not just schools, but schools included, there's a correlation with the internet. There's a correlation with social media. There's a correlation with all these other things, including mental health, that had skyrocketed during these times. Not that there hasn't been mental health issues all along. And again, it comes back to the involvement, the awareness of the nucleus around people. And it doesn't have to necessarily be your family. It doesn't necessarily have to be children. It's your friend circle, your family circle, your spouse, your significant other, your children. I mean, in all honesty, I've had children of people in the military and law enforcement reach out to me saying, hey, my mom or my dad, something's not right. Yeah, I think maybe they need to talk to someone because they see it. And as children, a lot of times they're not equipped. They're equipped with the love of a child, but some they call out for help. And it's interesting that that we're not focusing more on that. And I think we do need it. And I understand there's broken homes. I understand there's different situations in homes. I understand there's a lot of people by themselves out there. And that's why I say that nucleus around everyone. Hopefully someone has something around them. It's not going to account for all problems, but we've become so blinded and fixated on our own lives, our own self, our own journeys, our social media presence, what we're doing, what people think of us on the World Wide Web that never even met us. It's an interesting conundrum we found ourselves in. And with AI and everything we've talked about, this stuff is only going to get crazier. So just an opening thought today. It's 3:25 here at WILK. We'll be back.